Hey, music fans, thanks for stopping by to check out the latest episode of the podcast. I really appreciate it. For this episode, I am joined by Sam Fish. He is the frontman of the band Electric Sunshine. The band has a debut album entitled Midnight Special that's set to be released on October 7th. In that same evening, they will be performing a rooftop show in Fountain Square in Indianapolis. That will definitely be a good time. We talk about Sam's musical journey. We talk about how he recorded this debut album. That's an interesting story. And we talk about his approach to live performances, which is really cool too. We even throw in how he became a reverend. Sam is a high energy guy who provided me with several laughs during this podcast. We cover a lot of ground, so let's get to it.
Awesome.
Yeah, cool, man. Hey, thanks for taking some time to hang out with me.
Hey, man, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I really look forward to talking about your new album and the album release show, so we'll get to that. But let's just start with 2023. How's the year going for you so far, and what's going on?
It's been a year, all right. That's pretty much all I can say about it. Yeah. There's been a lot of things. It's just been a lot.
Yeah.
It's been a lot.
Been a lot going on in Sam's life, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a whole episode on its own.
Is that okay? Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Well, let's. And I'm maybe some of that'll come out. Maybe some of it won't. Whatever needs to. Great. But let's. I always like to start with kind of the musical journey. That got you to where you are now. So, you're in Indiana now. Are you an Indiana guy?
Kinda. So I was born in Harris County, Texas.
Okay.
And then a series of questionable decisions by my family led us back here.
Okay.
So I've kind of been stuck here since I was like 3 or 4.
Okay. So no probably real memories of Texas then.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Fire ants are a real thing, and I definitely still have scars on my feet.
No kidding. Wow. All right. So where out in Texas, you said?
Houston, Harris County.
Okay. Houston area. Okay, cool. So you've been in Indiana since you were 3 or 4.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, and you're in Indianapolis now, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. Were you in Muncie for a little bit?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, okay. Okay, so you're down in Indy now. Are you in the Fountain Square area, which we're going to talk
yes,
about
sir.
A little bit? Okay.
Yes, sir. I work at World Famous Hot Boys. So.
Okay, so. There's the connection. All right.
Yes,
well,
sir.
Yeah, more to come on that. So, all right, cool. So when you think about just at some point on your path, Sam, what early musical memories do you have that began to stir in you and you're saying, man, this is pretty cool. I like this.
So both my parents were super into music, but very different ends of the spectrum.
Okay.
My biological father grew up around like industrial music. My uncle was in a band called Anchor Watt and then ended up being the bass player for Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, wow.
So he grew up around that and was like into that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas my mother is like more into like the hippy dippy, like classic rock kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then my grandparents are also very into music.
Okay.
Like, my grandma went to the Beatles when they played at the State Fair in 1964 and she cried because she got to see Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's a pretty special moment. Yeah. Has she told you much about that experience?
Well, I know that she was there and that she cried.
Yeah. Well, and I think back in those days, I think they probably played, if I'm not mistaken, and I'm not up on my Beatles history at the State Fair Coliseum, but I think they played 2 shows maybe. And you know
that could be true.
And you know,
I don't really know.
Yeah,
that.
I don't either. But you know, back then they played 45-minute sets. I mean,
right?
Yeah, it was a real short show by today's standards. So, well, that's cool that you've got that connection. So, so as far as your influences, and it'll come out as we talk about some of the new music. But some of your early influences that just really laid the foundation for you. What were those bands? What was the genre? Or genres.
So there's two like sides to this. So because a lot of people in my family like music. Mm-hmm. That was the preface to this, right? We got to get a little segue.
Yeah.
Because everybody likes music, they like going to see live music.
Right. Yeah.
So I was just always kind of there when they wanted to, like, my grandparents heard that there was something cool going on. Like, there's a guy named Benito Di Bartoli that played for Eddie Money for a while that, like, I grew up watching at an Irish pub in Plainfield.
Oh, really?
He would do acoustic sets with a looper, and that man could play anything.
Wow.
Quite literally anything. Hmm. Oh, you want to talk about earliest memories? There you go.
Yeah, that's a good one.
One time I got to, he let me come up and jam with him, like, right when I had, like, just started, like, getting good at playing.
Okay.
So I was probably, like, 10 years old, 12 years old.
No kidding.
Yeah, so that was pretty neat.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. So so you started playing. When did you pick up guitar?
So I don't know. that's always been a really weird question because, like, I always had one. Mm-hmm. Like, even if it was just like a rinky dinky little first act, but, like, it stays in tune or whatever. Yeah. But like, I started taking it relatively seriously in, like, third or fourth grade.
Okay.
And then to just kind of progress from there.
Yeah. What made you, if you can recall, what made you start taking it seriously?
I really don't remember. It was kind of just the only thing that I had found at that point that was, like, natural and made sense. Yeah. Like, most people do sports,
right,
or whatever, like, or, like, will, like, draw. Mm-hmm. I didn't really have an interest in that. Mm-hmm. I would rather, well, God, who did I want to be back then?
Yeah.
I wanted to be, God, in fourth grade, I wanted to be Angus Young from AC/DC.
Well, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think everybody's probably had that experience. You know, there are a few bands in the world that everybody goes, yep, I love them. And that would be one of them. AC/DC would be one of them. Just everybody loves AC/DC and Angus. So,
of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Are you self-taught on guitar?
100%. Yeah. I took a little bit of lessons, like, my parents had got me lessons right when I had started, but I took, like, a month of them, and then my guitar teacher died. Rest in peace, Tony.
Oh, man.
I knew the man for about a month, just some old hippie dude. We just kind of jammed the whole time. Yeah. I didn't really learn much but chords, but he was a good vibe.
Yeah. That's cool. That's cool.
And then he just kind of ceased to exist one day, and they were like, hey, you're not going to go back there anymore. Yeah. He's kind of gone. I'm like, all right, well.
All right. Wow. Okay. So tell me about early band experience. So, how many bands have you been in, and just what was that experience like?
I've been in a few bands at this point. Jeez, oh, Pete. I was in this program through Sam Ash and Castleton.
Yeah.
So now they're called Rock Garage. Shout out Preston Ash, I guess.
Okay.
While we're on the segue here. But originally it was called Ash Rocks, still run by Preston.
Okay.
But it was in Sam Ash.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
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 So I was part of that for a little bit. So, like, that's just a revolving door of bands.
Sure.
I can play bass and, you know, do a couple other things. So Preston had me just kind of everywhere that he needed to be on the side, like, aside from, like, whatever, like, my main group was.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So I can't even remember.
Yeah. So was it always, the rock side of things, or did you play some other stuff, or it's always been rock?
I mean, it's mostly been rock. I mean, I don't know if, like, you would call, no, yeah, it's mostly been rock, I guess, or, like, poppy stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mostly on the side, like, projects that he had me helping out with.
Yeah. Okay. As you began to formulate all that and you were getting this band experience, did you say, I want to be the guy out front, or were you just saying, I just want to be in a band?
So I always wanted to be the guy out front.
Did you? Okay.
So it's fourth grade. It started, you know, like, when I started playing guitar, it was like Angus Young or, like, Tony Iommi. I still want to be Tony Iommi. Just, like, I'd like to keep my fingers.
Yeah. Well, that's important. Yeah.
And then I moved on to, like, middle school, like, got into some, like, My Chemical Romance. I wanted to be Frank Iero for the longest time.
Okay.
I loved his energy, his presence, and, like the way he just was everywhere on stage mm-hmm. all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then not long after that, like, when I actually started learning how to, like, really actually play, I got into mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix really heavy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, like, Grateful Dead. I started smoking weed.
Yeah.
And I got really good at playing Grateful Dead stuff and Jimi Hendrix, so...
Is that a prerequisite? Is that part of that?
Honestly, if you can shred and not smoke a little weed at the same time, yeah. like in the process, yeah. I would be thoroughly impressed.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Okay. So, and I've been on your website. You forwarded me some information. So tell me about the full Reverend Sam J. Fish III. What?
So, I added the third because it sounds cool.
that's great. That's great. Okay.
Reverend started kind of as a joke in high school because I like got ordained as a minister as a joke. And then I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to get all of them.
Yeah.
All right. So if there's a religion that exists that you can get a certificate to online, I have it.
Is that right? Well, you've got them covered then.
Yes. Yeah. All your bases. Hit me up.
All right. So that would lead to, have you performed any ceremonies as a reverend?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I've been waiting for that.
Okay.
It'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody will hear this and go, hey, we need to hit up a reverend and we know one now. So yeah. So what, you were just doing that more for fun and then said, why not just get them all, huh?
Because somebody said you wouldn't, so I did.
So you did. Okay. All right. And where'd you go to high school?
I went to a couple different high schools.
Yeah.
I just kind of bounced around a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
Freshman year, I went to Heron. That was interesting.
Ooh, okay.
That's a school, all right.
Yeah.
Sophomore year, I went to Lawrence Central. Mm. I hear they still don't have ceilings.
Mm.
And then junior and senior year, I kind of went back and forth between Mooresville and The Crossing, which is like their alternative school.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. So tell me about the band name, Electric Sunshine. How did that come about?
It's an acid recipe from the 60s.
Wow. Well, there's some deep stories on each one of these. I wasn't expecting all that. Okay. So did you just gravitate to that right away? Did you consider other band names? I mean, how did that come? What else was in the mix, I guess, so to speak?
Electric Sunshine, I guess, started like my sophomore year. Because
mm-hmm.
I knew that I wanted to have my own thing,
mm-hmm.
but I was still trying to figure out like, what is my shit going to sound like? Mm-hmm. What kind of stuff am I going to do? Mm-hmm. How long is it all going to be? Like all the little tiny intricate bits of like what makes the sound.
Mm-hmm.
I was still trying to figure out. I was still trying to figure that out for the longest time, but I took a righteous acid trip one wonderful day. That was the first one, actually. I said, you know what? To heck with it. I'm going to eat two of them. Like 15 years old, I have the only show choir competition I ever drummed in was the next morning.
Oh, wow.
So...
Is that on tape somewhere?
I don't know. I don't remember being there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
I just kind of showed up, jammed, and then left. And everybody said, you did really good, but like not in a show choir way.
Mm-hmm.
Which apparently means that I was supposed to be like, ta, 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 and I was just grooving.
Okay.
But at least I was locked in.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Yeah.
But on that mystical, magical trip somewhere along the way, it just hit me in the face.
Yeah. The band name. Yeah. Okay. Electric Sunshine.
Like quite literally, like it just.
Yeah.
And it made sense.
Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, that's a story. That's a story for sure. So tell me about, how would you describe your musical style now, your genre?
Oh, at this point,
yeah,
I don't know.
Mm.
I've never really been able, it's rock, mm-hmm. I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't really want to call it classic rock because it's now and it's influenced by other more modern stuff. It's mm-hmm. not entirely just Greta Van Fleeting it, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but I don't know, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like to just say to people, how about you listen to it and you tell me what you think it is. And then that's what it is.
That's what it is. I like that. Yeah. Cause in the end it's kind of, it's in the eye of the beholder, right? Or the listener, I guess, in this case. So
I think it's funny to watch people argue over genres on the internet.
Yeah.
So.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, so a couple of things that stood out to me as I listened to the music, was it, there were times it had a T-Rex feel to it. Cause to me, T-Rex kind of covered all those bases too. You'd hear acoustic stuff. You'd hear kind of the rock, the, bang a gong kind of thing. It just
right.
was all of that. And so it was a little reminiscent, and I'm not trying to place a tag on it, but it reminded me a little bit of T-Rex, certainly some of the 70s stuff as well, other 70s, classic rock kind of stuff. But, your voice, has anybody ever said, hey, your voice sounds like, reminds me of this or sounds like this person? Have you ever had that?
I've had a lot of people say a lot of conflicting things.
Okay.
I do a lot of karaoke cause it's fun.
Hmm.
And, one of my buddies runs a bunch of karaoke nights. So I just go hang out with my friend
mm-hmm.
okay. and we just kind of, we'll just mess around. We'll give each other songs to go sing.
Yeah.
Hey, screw you. You're going to go sing this now. So, people have said that I act like Freddie Mercury, but sound like the dude from The Doors, which I don't understand.
Hmm.
I've gotten Chris Cornell before, which I don't understand.
Hmm.
I think somebody said Eddie Vedder once.
Hmm.
All this wacky stuff. I've gotten Robert Plant a couple times.
Really? Okay.
Janis Joplin once. That was a pack of cigarettes deep, but one time. everywhere. I don't really, nobody yeah. really.
Yeah.
It just kind of depends.
Well, I'll add one to the list, or if you haven't heard this one. You reminded me of the guy from Tesla, Jeff Keith.
Hell yeah. I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah. I heard a lot of that. And not that you're trying to mimic that, but for someone that's checking out the podcast and say, well, what kind of music, what's he sound like? To me, I would say Jeff Keith kept coming up, and of course he's a phenomenal singer. That's a phenomenal band.
Right. Right. But yeah, never gotten that one before. That's a pretty big compliment.
Yeah. Yeah. You. Cool. Cool. Well, let's move into talking about your new album, Midnight Special, which is set to drop on October 7th. And
yes,
you're going to have a show that evening, which we'll talk about here in just a little bit. But listen, tell me how the album came to be.
So I started writing some of those songs all the way back in high school, towards mm-hmm. the end, while I was in a better position. That's a long story, mm-hmm. but I was in a better physical position literally
mm-hmm.
to finish the rest of my high school. So I was actually able to not be stressed and work on things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So, that's when the first live version of Electric Sunshine got together. And mm-hmm. that was just a bunch of guys that I knew from high school.
Mm-hmm.
One of which is going to come back and play with us, but we'll talk about that in a second,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was where Skies Real Slow got written mm. and Vampires got written.
Okay.
The first two singles, because I felt like it was only right to put out the first two that I wrote.
Yeah.
And I mean, they've made it this far. There's been way more that haven't made it yeah. and have been buried.
Yeah.
And okay. buried and buried and buried.
Okay. Okay.
So
those are two of the older songs on here. So, okay.
Yes, cool. sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me the story, because the Sky song is, that's the last song on the album. Tell me
yes, sir.
Just how you got the title for that. Tell me about the music, how that one came to be.
So the title is literally just from the chorus. It just kind of sounded nice, I guess. Mm-hmm. I really don't know where that specifically came from, but mm-hmm. the song itself is straight up. It's about cocaine.
Mm.
Wow. Got high school kids writing about cocaine. like more on like a hazy Pulp Fiction edit meets like Requiem for a Dream kind of way.
Okay. I like that song. How did you pick the song? Where you got 10 songs here? Did you think about the order, or is it? I'm sure you did, but I mean, is there a significance to the order, or is it just, hey, this feels like it leads into the next one?
So a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. I've always been, I don't want to say good at, but I like my playlists and like my mixtapes that I make. Mm-hmm. Like, especially mixtapes, because you can't, like, reorder those songs. You got one shot to...
Right.
And it has to be exactly, because I feel like you probably remember them days. Like, yeah. You got exactly 31 and a half minutes per side.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I miss those days, like, too. I miss those days. Yeah.
So it's a bit of that, like, it just kind of fits well together, but at the same time, like... There's really only 9 songs. You can count the intro.
Yeah, I guess the intro. Yeah, what, that's 30 seconds or so, or 40 seconds. But
I split that off because when I started doing it live with the second band, which is where like the album started to start like actually coming together, mm-hmm. I knew that there had to be some sort of like segue into the first song. Mm-hmm. So that's where that intro started. The mm-hmm. quote is from J. Robert Oppenheimer, but I want to claim that I did that before the movie was announced. I did it before the movie was announced, okay. And nobody can tell me otherwise.
Yeah, okay.
But he says, and the world will not be the same. We knew the world would not be the same. Some people laughed, some people cried, and the rest were silent.
We'll be right back.
And I just felt like that was one, just super hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like just,
yeah,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
But then two, also kind of like fits with the way that like I've been doing this whole thing the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Like no matter what, I'm doing something different. The world will not be the same.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like it. Some people don't. And then most people haven't heard of it yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for the first album, it was just like, just kind of.
Yeah, that's cool.
Fit nice.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah.
And then that always has segued into Slacker because it's the same like chord setup and it's in the same way. And it's like it was just meant to go into that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got these big, long like crashes and like just strummy chords. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into this real tight. You know, like bump, but duh, but duh,
yeah. Yeah, this is a really strong start to the album. I like it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, cool. So tell me, how did you record this? I read in some of what you sent that maybe recorded in the back of your Jeep, or tell me a little bit about this, right?
So this is the trap bag.
Okay.
Let's reach into my bag of tricks, shall we?
All right.
So I was living in the back of a Jeep all summer. Jeep Patriot.
Okay.
I've, you know, figured something out, but we're not going to discuss that.
Yeah, okay.
Here's a bunch of wires.
Yeah.
Here's a Focusrite Scarlett. Yeah. And then I was using some busted-ass Audio-Technica headphones for the longest time. and then all the vocals, for the most part, Shure SM57.
Yeah, okay.
100%.
Yeah.
All of the amps and pedals, for the most part, I just did modeling because it was smaller and easier.
Yeah.
A few key songs I used, like my actual pedals.
Okay.
That, like, the super big important ones.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of hard to fake a wah pedal, but.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. So you used a lot of the guitar sounds were the simulators in your laptop. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. How about the drums?
Yep.
How'd you track the drums? Were those in there too? Is that, yeah. Do you have a Mac or is it a PC?
Yeah, I have a 2012 MacBook Pro.
Okay. Okay.
So I had to jump through a bunch of hoops. I got it for $100 off of Marketplace. I just kind of one morning, still living in my Jeep, was like, you know what? I have all this time. Fuck it. I'm going to find the cheapest MacBook that I can.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get this done as quickly as humanly possible.
Yeah. Okay.
So I got her done.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. I applaud your patience to work on that. Or at least from my perspective, patience, cause I've messed around with GarageBand and that just feels like so many rabbit holes you can go down.
I stole a copy of Logic off the internet.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Why would you pay $200 for a software that you can get off of Pirate Bay for $3.99?
And it worked.
Very well, actually. Yeah. It only crashed like 8 times.
Okay. So there's maybe you got up to speed on how to operate that, because those DAWs can be a little funny to me anyway.
So we had a Mac growing up, and then like I just used it for GarageBand. So mm-hmm. I already kind of knew how GarageBand worked.
Yeah.
And in high school and like after, I've been using Audacity a lot. Mm-hmm. So the actual like technical side of the DAWs, I figured out like that. Mm-hmm. So going to Logic was like,
yeah, not that big of like, a leap for you.
Everything that I was doing in Audacity that was taking all of these steps, but sounding really, really good, I can now do with three button presses or a single keyboard command in Logic. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then it's all with the ease and the interface of GarageBand where you can just drag and drop shit around.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. How long did it take you to put the album together?
Like recorded and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah.
From the summer.
Yeah. Just
all summer.
All this summer. Okay.
Pretty much. I can't remember exactly when I got this MacBook, but it was probably like late May, early June, I want to say.
Yeah.
So from then till the other day.
Yeah. Okay. So you just wrapped up recording and yeah. Okay. So did you know that you had October 7th? Was it kind of on the books? And you're like, I've definitely got to be ready for that.
So it was going to be the 3rd, but then I was like, you know what? I want to do it on like a weekend and then have this whole shebang with it because I've been working on this for so long. I'm going to, it's go hard or go home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Who else played on the record with you?
So I tracked all of the instruments. I did the drums through, not through a, like an actual programmer, but actually like by hand through the musical typing. So if it kind of sort of half-assedly sounds like a real drummer, it's because I was actually sitting there.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was trying to get as close to faking it as I could because I knew that I wasn't necessarily going to have access to easily, quickly do drums like that, but I wanted it to sound good enough to like, good enough for rock and roll, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
But we got a couple of songs that have some of my friends singing on it. Sky's Real Slow, the like the big one that's got Stevie Kerr on it. I've known her since high school. Okay. I just kind of called her one day when I was like almost halfway through or three quarters of the way through doing Sky's Real Slow, like way at the beginning of this. And she's like notoriously hard to get a hold of. Like you can ask anybody who knows her. She does not pick up her phone.
No.
Ever.
Ever. Okay.
And miraculously I got a hold of her and I was like, hey, I have a song I need you to sing on like right now. And she was like, okay, you can just come over right now. I'm like, all right, Matt. hauled ass over there and she was a dream to work with, like got all of her stuff done in less than 4 takes.
Wow.
Like just, she's a choir singer. So she was very used to like blending. And I said, no, you got to like womp it. And the second that I said that she understood like what womping it was like shoulders back, just like, don't be pretty with it. Like, I quite literally told her to put her balls into it. Yeah. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, you got to put your balls into it. This is rock and roll. It comes from your balls. And she was like, okay,
all right.
I think I got it. And she got it. And it sounded absolutely, absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Was there any other background singers or was she your sole background singer?
Other than me tracking my own vocals and silly voices, I blended her and me for like the chorus and stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's one more track that has my buddy Nash Avenue, who's going to be playing with me at the thing.
Yeah, on the 7th. Yeah, and what's he play?
He's going to be playing rhythm guitar with me.
Okay,
and doing some backup vocals.
Okay, and he did a little bit of that on a song.
Yeah, he did some backup vocals on a track called "It's Too Warm in Here." In the verse, he's on some of those harmonies, and he's on the chorus.
Okay, okay, cool. Cool. So like I said, Slacker starts off the record, Stumbling Drunk. That's a bit of a little funk rocker. Is that a true narrative there? Is that what happened?
A little bit. Yeah. So, the first apartment that me and my baby mama were living in, I was just kind of sitting there messing around with the guitar. And one of her friends at the time was like, I want you to make fun of indie rock right now. Write the most like horrendous like indie rock song you can. and let's hear it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, what do people in indie rock bands sing about? They whine about their hometown and their college parties and running out of cigarettes and drunk people.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm gonna absolutely just roast all of UIndy, the entire UIndy party scene from like 2019, just roasted. So,
okay,
that is all. Yes, everything in that story is pretty much entirely true, except I don't know who, what girl is stumbling drunk down some stairs that I'm like obsessed with or whatever, but it just sounded nice.
Yeah.
So,
okay. All right.
There's the chorus.
Okay. Very good. Do you, as far as writing, are these all solo written? Do you do any co-writing?
I don't usually like I am for hire.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm for hire. So if anybody like needs like lead guitar, mostly is what people hire me for. I'll come on and do that. You can give me credit or not, as long as I get paid for it. Yeah. I'm cool.
You're
you
good
know
with that. Yeah.
But like when I write my stuff for Electric Sunshine, no, it's pretty much all me. When the band goes and plays live, every time I get a new group together, they're definitely encouraged to like take what I've written and expand upon it themselves and like make it their own.
Yeah.
Like I want everybody to have fun while they're playing it. That's why a lot of the songs are relatively simple and set up for the first album, because you know, those are the ones that everybody's going to know the longest. So those are the ones that you're always going to be able to fall back on no matter what point in your career that you're at. So if you make those as simple as possible, you can always jam on them, and they're the easiest ones to jam on.
That's wow. That's some great insight there. That's and good for you. Yeah. You need something to fall back and have easy songs to play. I'm playing with some guys now in a cover band and I like the easy ones. Yeah. Cause you know, just for the reason that you said, really, you can pull that out and everybody knows it. You can play it. And
I also realized like while I was writing a lot of these songs, like especially the ones that I got scrapped and thrown away that, the best classic rock songs aren't like, sure, you got like Hotel California, Freebird. Honestly, I'm not even we're going to come back to Freebird because that's really like three chords. We're not going to talk about the first part of Freebird. The good part of Freebird is three chords.
Right, right.
So we got Hotel California, Stairway to Heaven. That's pretty much it. You got two songs that are like super duper complex that are like hailed as the best ones from that era.
Yeah.
All the other ones, bro, it's like Steve Miller.
Yeah.
Steve Miller plays three chords, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
AC/DC. Akadaka plays three chords, dude. Who else we got?
Yeah.
Who else plays three? Led Zeppelin plays three chords, dude.
Yeah.
Other than Stairway to Heaven, like a lot of their stuff is really, really simple. And all the stuff that people know is that really simple stuff.
Yeah, absolutely right.
You got to have verses that make sense and tell your story and a chorus that sonically ties into it. It just has to sound nice with it. It doesn't actually have to make sense.
Right, right. I would agree with that. I think you're onto something there. So, cool. One of the favorites that jumped out as I listened to it, and I think I listened to it through the album four or five times now, No Chain, but that's a little bit of a slower one. Tell me the story about No Chain.
So, that was written about a year ago, almost. And that was written about like just some, I was still living with my baby mama and like, that's lore that nobody needs.
Yeah. Okay.
And I was just in a situation, just not feeling the best about everything regarding the whole relationship. So I just kind of wrote that. And that one's a very literal song. But when I actually went to like go record it, like it was like I wrote this dumb little poem and then I was like, all right, well, that kind of has like a, you know, like a 6/8 kind of lean to it. like a 1, 2, 3, 4, or a, yeah, 6, yeah, da, 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 you know, like a House of the Rising Sun kind of feel. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do something with it. And I kind of had that like womp, womp, womp in my head. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of came out one day.
Okay.
For the actual recording of it, I wanted to have two guitars soloing over each other at the same time, but like one of them is noticeably quieter. Mm-hmm. So like one is being talked over the entire time, mm-hmm. but then at the end you can kind of hear it come up.
Yeah. Yeah. I made a note of that. Of course you're playing both of those.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. Very cool. So where did you literally record some of this in the back of your Jeep? Or
some of it was recorded in the back of the Jeep. The solo at the end of Skies Real Slow was recorded behind World Famous Hot Boys at the bench table back there.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Because they had a wall outlet. A lot of it was recorded like my bass and some of my rhythm guitars, mm-hmm. on some of the like the other like janglier tracks, mm-hmm. like let me think. Oh God, I want to say it's Walden probably has a double neck 12 string on it that I use for the 12 string.
Okay.
So stuff like that was done at Guitar Center because I didn't have access to a bass, but like the guys at the Guitar Center in Greenwood were really, mm-hmm. cool. And they were like, yeah, dude, nobody uses the studio space. Like it's literally here so that people can come and like do stuff like this. Like,
oh, really?
Have at it. Yeah. That's like a little known fact that a lot of the times like they will encourage you to like go and like if you have like a you know bring your own laptop or whatever and your own like recording setup for the most part, but like you can use their like if there's a used microphone that they have in, mm-hmm. you can definitely use one of those real quick. You can pretty much use any of the instruments. Bonus points if it's one of the used ones, like you can really like shred on one of those because it's used. Like you don't have to be extra like like you can, you know, lean into it a little bit. And so honestly, those, the used ones, they play better anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So are you going to the practice, those little practice spaces, or do they actually have a recording area? Cause I know some guitar centers at one time and maybe still do had an actual recording studio. Yeah.
It's not like a full fledged studio. It's more like a kind of half-assed display for all their studio stuff, but it's pretty quiet and it works pretty well for like what you need it for.
Wow.
If you're just going to go and do some, like some instrument tracking.
Very cool. Okay. I did not know that. Yeah. Well, that's one way to work on a budget. Yeah.
Yeah. It was free 99.
I like that. Free 99. So you talked about the double leads. Those are leads that you've probably worked out, I would guess. Or
Nope.
You're just improvising.
Yeah. Every single thing that I, every time I go and make a run, I improvise it. There's some songs that have like things that are kind of worked out that have just been like, I've just repeated them so many times. Mm-hmm. Like the solo in Vampire starts the same every time. Slacker, the down, 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 bow. Like that's a consistent thing. Mm-hmm. The solo to Skies Roll Slow starts the same every time for the most part.
Yeah.
Like there's some bits, like the beginnings of them, that are all consistent, but the rest of them, no, I pretty much make everything up as I go.
Yeah, yeah, okay, cool. And you'd mentioned Vampires. You've got Vampires and is Skies Real Slow? Are those the two you've got up on YouTube now? I've seen those on YouTube, or that you've released as singles, I guess?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And those are your two older songs.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, tell me about Vampires. There may be a really you've had interesting stories about every one of these so far. So tell me about Vampires.
You're about to be sorely disappointed, my friend. I was in high school, and I was like super into Arctic Monkeys at the time, and I wanted to write a sort of Arctic Monkeys type song, but I didn't know what about. So I was like, you know what? I'm just writing about vampires. So I'm going to write a song about a vampire trying to pick a girl up at a bar, but I'm going to like not really work that hard on the lyrics part. I'm just going to make it a banger.
Yeah.
I tried my best.
Yeah, I think you did. I think it worked because I actually noted that's probably the most straightforward rock song on the album. And there are others, but that one just straight up rocks.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hell yeah. 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 Good for you. Good for you. So you talked about Walden. I'm assuming it sounds like in the lyrics there's some connection to the book Walden. Mm. Yeah. What inspired that beyond the book?
I mean, that was a couple years ago that I wrote that. Mm-hmm. So that was just a desire to not be in Indiana anymore.
Mm.
Like okay. I've been in Indiana, in Indianapolis, the majority of my life, really Indianapolis, the majority of my life, mm-hmm. You kind of be in one place. You don't get to go anywhere else for the longest periods of time. Like I don't really ever leave the state much at this point. Yeah. So it was written from a place of wanting to get away from all of that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. And you talked about Skies Real Slow. I love the name, that title. And I think you maybe have referenced that already, but how did you actually come up with that title?
Took it from the chorus.
Yeah.
Took it straight from the chorus. I don't even know what that means.
That's kind of the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. It kind of is like build your own meaning to it. Because I was thinking, what does that mean? I like it. I don't know what it means. But
like the first bit of it, like obviously is about like the addiction part. Mm. Like can't drive too slow while she's with me.
Yeah.
Right. Like don't want to get pulled over by the cops.
Yeah.
But like you're speeding, so mm-hmm. you're going to keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes around twice. So the first time it says, let her eat up my disease, like eat.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause when you're sad, you do cocaine and it makes you feel better,
mm-hmm.
but then you get addicted and then she becomes your disease.
Mm. Okay.
And then the sky's real slow part. I don't know. Just the feeling, I guess if we're going to assign meaning to it, now that I've, you know, gotten older and I've done a lot more cocaine, I'm going to go with that's the feeling. That's just how it feels when you're sitting on a stoop at like 6:30 in the morning after a whole long night, you're just watching the sun rise over everything.
Okay.
All right. You're thinking to yourself, well, we got a whole nother day to go through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Time to do it again.
Yeah. Do it all over. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So what, you've been playing these songs for a while, 'cause you've actually released, a live record from Be Here Now in Muncie, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Kind of sort of. It's on SoundCloud.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've been playing these songs for a while, or most of them maybe. What songs are you enjoying playing live the most? I'm sure you enjoy them all, but are there some songs you go, boy, I really look forward to playing this one or these?
So I'm definitely going to have to say Vampires is always super fun mm-hmm. to play. One, because like the energy is just ridiculous mm-hmm. and you just kind of yell the whole time. And it's one that definitely gets people dancing. Mm-hmm. Stumbling Drunk also is super fun because mm-hmm. it's fun to see people having a good time.
Yeah.
But honestly, the most fun one to actually like go and play, that's one of mine that I like wrote
mm-hmm.
is definitely going to be No Chain, because mm-hmm. like the whole thing is just jamming, guitar solos, shreddery, guitar wizardry.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Very good. I've been following you a while on Instagram and even now just talking to you, you're a high energy guy. And you bring a lot of that to your show too.
I try my best.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just in you. You're just a high energy, get after it kind of guy. And then that carries over in your live performance. I saw a couple of videos of you playing at the Slippery Noodle.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. Was that recently?
Yeah, those should be. They do a jam night every Wednesday. I go every so often.
Do you? Yeah. Okay. And, looks like you're having a good time there. Tell me about just playing live, what that means to you, what the folks that come out and, you know, want to see you play, what's the experience like?
So I've had some people that have been like on the train since day one for the most part. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that feels better than going up to do something that like you want to make your job, like mm-hmm. going, but you know, I say I'm going to work, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so nothing beats like going to work to do something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go and you look out and like the first three people that you see are people that have been there with you, supporting you, like know all the words to your songs and have the whole time.
Yeah.
But then also at the same time, like, they bring new friends with them, like, hey, come look at this.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to like see your old friends and then you get to make new friends at the same time.
Yeah.
And you can only really do that like through the music at like these live shows. Like you can't really like, sure, you could send one of your friends this album, but there's something so like different about being there in person. Like we're loud. We are a loud band.
Okay.
I emphasize that. I don't know how loud we're going to be on the roof. I mean, at the thing that we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah. Well, let's talk. we'll get to that, or we can talk about it now. Yeah.
Heck.
Yeah.
But historically I've been known to use half stacks for everything, even like the tiniest little bar gigs,
mm-hmm.
Minimum half stack minimum. Like we are a loud band.
Yeah.
we're pretty much only ever limited by the drummer, and Jack's pretty loud this time. So okay. I think we'll have everything up at 11.
Yeah. All right, cool. So yeah, you've got this show October 7th, for your album release, and it's on a rooftop. Tell me, give me the background on that. What are you looking forward to?
I've always loved the Beatles. Always loved the Beatles. And we're going to start there because that's where, you know, I initially kind of got the idea. I'm not trying to say I'm like trying to be like the Beatles or anything.
Right.
But I've always loved the rooftop performance of Apple Records, like mm-hmm. right at the end of their career. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure there's a Don't Bring Me Down on there. I can't ever remember, but like one of those mm-hmm. Don't Bring Me Downs is really good. Mm-hmm. And then just the whole aesthetic of it all, like them getting like hassled by the police and then telling the police to effectively go fuck themselves yeah. and then still playing with yeah. the police just standing there like, yeah. I told you Lord, not to play your bloody rock and roll music at streets no more. We don't care. We're going to keep playing it. So I wanted to kind of take that energy,
yeah.
but then do it today. Cause yeah. I knew I know I'm not going to have any problems with like the police come mm-hmm. knocking on my door.
Right.
If I'm doing it like the way I'm doing it,
yeah.
but I knew I had to do it some way.
Yeah.
Somehow.
So tell me the name of the location again and the address so those that are listening can check it out.
So that's where I was going to get to next. It's at World Famous Hot Boys, 1004 Virginia Avenue.
Okay.
Right in Fountain Square.
Yeah.
And that's where I work. I'm branded.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Yeah. So come get some chicken from me sometime. Yeah. That'd be real cool.
Okay.
So I kind of woke up one morning and I was like, you know what? There's no other roof that I can think of that would actually let me do this that mm-hmm. would like work. Mm-hmm. So I walked into work. I said to my boss, hey boss, I'm gonna play a show on the roof for my album release. And I'm not really going to take no for an answer. He was like, yeah, I don't care. And I was like, score.
Yeah. All right. Good for you. So what time does that start on that?
That's going to start at, well, the noise is going to be at 8. Everybody can start showing up at like 7.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Band, you guys have to be there at 6. Just in case they listen to this, just yeah. a little reminder.
Yeah.
6 o'clock is your load in time.
Yeah. All right. Boy, that'll be a load in too to get it up on the rooftop. I can't even picture that.
That's why it's 2 hours before noise.
Yeah. Wow. Especially if you're taking a half stack up there.
I think we're doing all combos just to make things easier.
Yeah, okay. But still, that's going to be some work. Yeah.
It's going to be a couple amplifiers and a few people for sure.
Yeah. So tell me real quickly about your rig. Does it change? Do you tend to play the same guitars and amps and pedals?
So I'm very particular about my guitars. Mm-hmm. I have three, but one of them is like on the bench right now and has been for some years. I have to do a bunch of work to it.
Okay.
So we're not going to talk about her, but I have a Strat that mm-hmm. I've had for not very long, mm-hmm. About a year and a half now. That's I got it for like $90.
Okay.
And I mean clean up the crackly pots and like make sure that everything like, you know, works right or whatever. But yeah. I put it up like sonically, I would put up against any other Strat any mm-hmm. day of the week. Mm-hmm. The one that I've been using for the longest time, that's the majority of like the humbucker tone on the album mm-hmm. was either this random SG that I found at this guitar center. With one of them like really long, it just feels extra long for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
I call it feels like a Les Paul plays like a Strat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cause it feels like a Les Paul, but it plays like a Strat.
Yeah.
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 Or the, my Les Paul that I've had since freshman year of high school. I don't even know. It was like my first like actual, like, shredder guitar that was like my workhorse that did pretty much everything. They're both covered in stickers, but I'm super particular about my instruments. Like mm-hmm. I don't like to just get a guitar just to get one. Like, I'll sit there and I will try every single instrument in the store before I'm like, okay, this one. But if I don't find one that speaks, I just put it back. Like, it's gotta, it's gotta be one that like talks.
Yeah. It's funny how individual they can be. They may look the same, but they're all so different.
I firmly believe that even two identical guitars from the exact same everything, model, gear, factory, can be like, let's say we have twins, right? Yeah. Here's my Strat, and then you have your Strat, right? My Strat was made first. Yours was the next one over. They're going to be completely different guitars. Yeah. They're going to sound different. They're going to feel different.
Yeah.
Like, they're both going to be Strats, sure, but they're going to have different little little quirks.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about your amp. What do you have an amp of choice?
For the longest time, I was using a Fender DeVille. Then in college, that flew out the back of my buddy's truck because he got into a little wrecky.
Okay.
In the winter, so I kind of lost that, and then it was just kind of amp homeless for a while, just using whatever amp was available, just little bedroom amps. Got another half stack. So in high school, I had a half stack Marshall, and then I also had a that nice-ish Fender 410, and those were like my two. I use the Fender a lot, though. My other half stack that I had for less than a year recently was a Fender FM from like the 90s, 2000s. It was like a Laney kind of thing. Don't have that anymore, so I'm trying to find like a combo or something. I'm just trying to go smaller so I can have everything be more portable, but like, I really, really, really like me a good 412.
Yeah.
They move air.
They move air. They sure do. Yeah. Yeah. It's totally different than a combo, but there's room for a combo, but 4x12, man, it will move some air. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, hey, we can begin to wrap up here. What's the rest of 2023 look like for you? Hopefully more shows beyond your album release show. Talk a little bit about that.
Maybe. I don't quite know. So this album release show, the lineup is me on lead and vocals, Nash Avenue on rhythm guitar and backup vocals. We got Elvin Morales Perez on bass, Jacob Tomlin on keys, and then Jack Hergenrother on drums, and that's the only time you'll ever see this lineup.
Okay.
So I don't really quite know. I've been invited to do like a Tiny Desk over the winter. So we'll see about that. You might see something else. You might see a New Year's party. Who knows?
We'll
figure it out. I really want to go and just start working on the second album at this point, because I've been working on this one for so long that I'm done. I want to be free.
I want to
be free.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah. Okay. So how can fans connect with you, Sam? What are the avenues there?
So I am on Instagram at Electric Sunshine. That's pretty much it.
With two N's, by the way. Two N's.
SUNNSHINE Sunshine.
Yeah.
You can find me at my website, or you can email me. There's a little link that you click on. It looks like an envelope. If you click that, you can email me for like booking, questions, comments, concerns, hate mail. Send me hate mail. I don't care.
Don't send hate mail, people.
You go ahead. Send me whatever you want. Whatever is going to make you feel better and sleep better at night, that is what you may send me.
Yeah. If you need a ceremony, if you need a reverend.
True that.
There
true
you go. That. Email him. Hit him up on Instagram. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Instagram or email is pretty much the premier way for the general public to get a hold of me.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Well, very good. I wish you all the best. I hope the show goes better than you anticipate. And that the weather cooperates. So
that's really what I'm banking on.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. So, okay. All right. Hey, I appreciate you hanging out. Let's hang around. I'm going to stop the record here and we'll chit chat real quick. So
right on.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks. All right, we've landed and you can now take your seatbelt off. That was a ride. I really appreciate Sam Fish hanging out with me and talking about his band Electric Sunshine, his debut album, Midnight Special, coming out October 7th. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. If you're in Fountain Square around October 7th, look out for the rooftop concert. I think it's going to be a great time. Hey, and thanks for stopping by to check out the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. And until next time, keep your antennas up for those bands on the radar.